just really excited to get everything going and get the season started.
It's training camp time.
Yeah, baby!
It's the Morning Shift gives you all the action live from Flowery Branch.
Tiffany Blackman, Mike Johnson, and Bo Morgan.
Tune in or listen on the Odyssey app for our 2024 Falcons training camp coverage. Exclusive training camp coverage is brought to you by Kia. Move it that inspires. Miller Lite. Tastes like Miller Time Atlanta. Margaritaville. And by Hooters. Ain't no party like a Hooters party.
Our Falcons play here. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Now, here's Tiffany, Mike, and Bo.
Good morning. This is the Morning Shift. I'm Squid Billy Bo Morgan. He is the All-American National Champion.
I'm the National Champion, and that's my least
former
favorite 3 seconds
Atlanta
of this show.
Atlanta Falcon, Michael P. Don't ask him what the P stands for. Johnson.
Player. Stands for player.
And today we are joined by the South Jersey shoe queen herself, WSB's Allison Mastrangelo. Hope I pronounced it right. If I didn't, we'll work on it later. Allison, thanks for joining us today.
I'm excited to be here. And you did pronounce it. Were you practicing?
I did pull up your Twitter just now and go, okay, sound
heavy
it out.
A heavy A.
With the, one
I of the, love
sound it out.
One of the upside down V's on top of the Mastrangelo.
Yes, because yeah. It would have been a little bit like, full disclosure, sometimes people's names are tricky for me.
Oh, no, I'm right there with you on
I've got that southern accent.
You don't say.
And it's like when I try to say certain words, my tongue enlarges by like 5 inches or something, and I can't get
that.
It out. But anyways, we're obviously honored to have you with us. We were able to somehow get you through the intense security team at Flowery Branch.
Seriously.
No one's getting through.
It's like flying out of Hartsfield-Jackson in here.
I don't even think the players can get through.
Yeah. No, apparently not. You know what I found out this morning? That the big dog of the show, you know, the 6'6" offensive lineman, is clearly the nicest one on the show because –
You just figured that out?
I came in –
A year and a half into this, you figured that out right now.
This open book here. This is where Tiffany gets mad at me because I tell too much. But we've normally parked across the street. Today we had parking. Limited, but we had parking. So Mike's texting me, hey, man, we're not allowed in, blah, blah, blah. And
you're completely mischaracterizing the story. I said, dude, they won't let me in. I'm going to park across the street. I'm not having an argument with this lady at the freaking gate this morning.
At
I was
5
not in the mood.
Yeah.
Not in the mood. So, it's literally 4:55.
She's doing her job.
Well, she's doing it poorly.
This place is safe because
no,
of
I don't think it's her doing her job poorly. I think somebody else is.
Miscommunication.
Yes, right. She's the one that's just.
So I rolled up and I was like, she's like, yeah, y'all got to park. I said, nope, we have media parking today. We were told by the team. She goes, what team?
The Atlanta Falcons.
I said, the team that works here and plays here. I got to call somebody. And after she called somebody, I got in. And then Allison got stuck.
I got stuck.
And so we had to make some moves to get her in as well. But here we are. And look, the team is back today. They practiced today. They obviously had a day off after the game Friday, and it was a weird game for me because, you know, at the game doing it, there was some good things that we saw, but then there were some moments where I was worried about the future of the season, especially when a guy like DeMarco Helms goes down, has to get carted off with what looked like some kind of air cast on lower leg, right? When Braylon Trice it limps off the field, and now we find out that torn ACL, non-contact injury. So those were some scary moments. But what do you have a takeaway from the preseason game?
Well, I'll say this. You know, we're doing kind of post-game show, and I'm kind of going through it. And post-game's always difficult, dude, because you have to put a 3-hour and 38-minute game. You kind of have to, like, 2 minutes later start to break down what you see. The good news is that all the good stuff happened when Michael Penix was in. The bad news is that once he left, this team was absolutely anemic offensively. And I really did like the second-string offensive line, the protection they gave him. It looked like he was on the same page with a lot of his wide receivers. But, Allison, I got to tell you, Michael Penix, probably in my eyes, the lone bright spot from Friday night. Otherwise, I don't know what we really saw.
Yeah, I mean, it's the preseason, game one. Literally, okay. No
that's
starters.
Right. That's right, Allison. That's
no
what I need.
No starters.
Bring us back. Bring us back to earth.
But no starters? I mean, I think you, I was – I mean, it is what it is when it comes to the preseason. Michael Penix had some bright spots. He also had, you know, not some bright spots, but he's a rookie. That's why he's not starting. That's why you have Kirk Cousins. Mm. So I'm not panicking.
She's preaching
all.
Right now, man. She's preaching
well,
right now,
I'm
Bo.
Not going to freak out yes. for the preseason.
She is going to level us out this morning. I can already tell. There were other bright spots.
The Jerry Maguire. I'm not going to do what everybody thinks I'm going to do and just freak out.
I could come in real hot right now.
I can't believe you can quote Jerry Maguire. I feel like you every like movie that? I throw at you, you have right, never a clue. Yeah. Real quick, let's hear about from Michael Penix on his NFL debut.
I feel like I did okay. You know, some things that, you know, definitely want to get better. You know, I feel like I executed the offense the best that I could. You know, I definitely I had one mistake, the naked eye, but like the fans, they wouldn't notice it, but in our offense, I know it. But other than that, you know, just trying to get points on the board. You know, whenever I was out there, we was able to get some points. We want to score every drive. We ended in field goal. Not sure how many times, but you know, I want to score. So, but like, it's always room for improvement.
I love hearing those words from him too, and I think it's well stated. And guys, we had this conversation I don't even know how many times last year, where you try to separate quarterback play and the ups and downs of quarterback play to play calling, right? What are you actually getting from Zach Robinson in the first preseason game with a lot of twos in and really kind of what seemed like a lack of communication at times? You go zero, you go five wide, zero people in the backfield. That's when Miami dials up the pressure. I thought Michael Penix did a great job of recognizing where his problems were and where he had to get the ball. But at the same time, some of the third down calls, run game and pass game, I started to have an issue with it. So obviously as we build through training camp and you go towards the second preseason game, you expect that to ramp up a little bit more. I just don't know how much of the deep playbook we are going to see before week one.
Yeah, I didn't think that you saw a lot from that aspect. I do think, and Arch talked about this on the broadcast, that you know, the way they handled some of the pressures, that maybe they haven't really gotten to that part of camp and practice where they're really working up front with that kind of stuff. Because I know this team, I know this staff in this front office, they feel like that depth is a plus for them up front on offensive side. You know, when you return five starters, I thought Penix looked well at times. I thought there was a couple of times where he's maybe late on some throws. But honestly, he looked head and shoulders above anything else we rolled out of that position on Friday night. Obviously, Kirk Cousins you didn't see, but Nathan Rourke,
I mean,
isn't that, all over the place.
First-round pick. So shouldn't he? I mean,
yeah.
If we're talking about Nathan being better than Penix, then that would be a little concerned.
Well,
right?
Even Heinicke, a guy that's played and has started at times.
I feel bad for him, dude.
But he's a backup, too. So, I mean, would be so concerned if we're like, okay, Nathan looked a lot better. You know, who's going to be the two now? Like, there's zero interceptions I'm looking at. He had some deep balls that were great. Yeah, the accuracy was there, but you saw the arm strength. You saw everything that you saw in college. So, I mean, he came out healthy, zero interceptions. Like, I think it was a win overall, and that's what you want to see from your rookie quarterback.
Well, and I think to add to your point, you're 100%, but look at also he was able to honestly know his checkdowns, yeah. And a couple of times he got, like Mike, you said, noticed some pressure, got it out quickly. Defensively, real quick, I want to switch over to that side. I saw some good things at times, especially Kevin King. That's a guy that I know – this staff is high on, because this is a guy that can play all over the field. Him and Hamilton were two guys that could kind of move around. So I thought they did some good things.
Yeah. It's interesting to see, and you do start to really look at the depth. And it was funny to me because, you know, you get this report from the Atlanta Falcons of who they're not expecting to play. And I didn't see on the report any outside linebackers. I didn't see, you know, the Arnold Ebiketie and Lorenzo Carter on there. Now, James Smith-Williams did not end up playing, from at least what I saw. I did not see him on the field at any point. But it was funny to me because every other position, the guys at the front line, you're like, oh, okay. They're on this list of guys that will not be playing. And they roll out Arnold Ebiketie, Lorenzo Carter, all these people at the outside linebacker spot. And you're like, all right, well, you ought to see a boost there at least, right? But you didn't, to be honest with you. I was not excited about what we saw at the outside linebacker spot. I did like the first roll through of interior defensive linemen, and I'm going to start to count Zach Harrison in that role because he's playing a lot of three technique. But look, man, when it comes to stopping the run, they've got to be a little bit better. And I'm talking about the depth, and I'm talking about the outside linebackers of not getting rolled back off the ball, because from all accounts, and you were down there, Bo, the physicality from Miami did not match what Atlanta's was during practice. I thought it completely flipped about the second quarter on in the preseason.
Yeah, I don't disagree, and that's something that Archie would talk about in the broadcast. Like, you know, that we were much more physical than them last couple of seasons, including this year in these practices. The thing, real quick, touch on the Zach Harrison stuff. Zach Harrison was involved in a couple of plays and back-to-back plays, one of which was the interception that Kevin King made where Thompson made an ill-advised pass. Harrison had pressure there, and he lets go of that ball. Boom, King intercepts it. I thought Zach Harrison popped in a couple of plays early in that game, and then as you went, you know, obviously he doesn't play as much as you might see, but I was really excited after watching Zach Harrison for what he might look like this year.
Yeah, well, you know, a couple of players that probably popped and some that didn't with the Atlanta Braves this weekend, unfortunately. Guys, we got to talk about the Atlanta Braves on the other side. How about this? Let's do a little Monday version of a one-word Wednesday, right? Let's just all come up with that one word we're feeling right now about those Atlanta Braves. I feel pretty rough, I'll be honest with you. Well, coming up on the other side, that's the Morning Shift, Sports Radio, 929 The Game.
Shift. Live from Flowery Branch for Falcons Training Camp. Exclusive camp coverage is brought to you by attorney Ken Nugent. Getting the settlement you deserve after an accident.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
1, 2, 3. It's time to take a look at today's top headlines.
This is the front page on the Morning Shift.
Solaire to center field. Does this one have enough juice? He's got another one. Four homers. The series for Jorge Soler.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. That was one of the good moments. And honestly, man, let's just start here. There was a lot of good moments for the Atlanta Braves this weekend. It just didn't come out in the standings and in the win-loss column over the weekend. Mike, Bo, and Allison hanging out with you here live from Flowery Branch with Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
This team, the Braves, they're becoming my 2024 Desmond Ridder.
Yeah, that's a great point.
Because...
wait, did you... okay, yeah, the Desmond Ridder love affair with you ended in 2023, I'm pretty sure.
We broke up the day after the Panthers game.
Yeah.
Actually, we broke up that day.
God,
we broke up in the fourth quarter of that game.
What
I
a
just
gut
could not,
punch that was.
I couldn't do it. I couldn't do it anymore. I couldn't sit here and tell you that the best was yet to come anymore, because that was it. And I am starting... after yesterday, I am starting to wonder if the Braves are not my Desmond Ridder of this year. Because, Allison, I have tried and tried. But when Spencer Schwellenbach goes out there and gives you the best start you've had since the last time he started, and gives you six innings to earn at that park, and then Jorge Soler has, what, two home runs, four RBIs, and you got the six RBI day from Matt Olson the day before, and your offense is clicking suddenly. I know it's that part. And you still lose. I don't know what else to say.
Yeah, I know we talked about this, and I'm like, I'm not worried. First of all, that's Colorado. That's
good
a hitter's ballpark.
Good for you.
Like, why? I'm not going to, like, if this was September 1st, I'd be like, okay. Like, I'm worried. They don't have Ronaldo Lopez. I mean, they haven't had Spencer Strider all season. Spencer Schwellenbach, I mean, he talked about it pregame, how he just didn't have all of his pitches because of the altitude. Now we're finally seeing the offense come alive. Let's have the pitching struggle a little bit right now, and then we're going to put it all together in September, you know?
Well,
so let's get out now.
I'm going to give you guys just a second to come up with your one word Wednesday for this Monday, but I'm going to go ahead and throw mine at you. This team is stressful. Stressful is my word for today. They are so freaking stressful to the point that this rotation and this pitching staff and this bullpen above all else have been so good all year, and now I'm just stressed, dude. You finally won another game where the other team scored four runs, right? And feeling so good about it. This offense finally coming alive. Even Matt Olson yesterday, good at bats. It just, they're stressful, dude. They're stressful. So
I've got my word already.
Go ahead.
I am perplexed.
I'm not. They've had injuries. They have all kinds
big
of stuff. I'm
word
not worried.
Yeah, big
but
word.
You scored. You had an 8-2 lead going in the eighth inning. The bottom of the eighth inning, I should say. And I don't care where you played. You can't lose that game. No. The Luke Jackson experience or experiment, the second coming of Luke Jackson.
Yeah, I'm ready to get off that ride.
Has been brutal.
Ready to get off that ride.
It looks like the Soler one is coming around, which is what you wanted. Four home runs in the series?
Yeah.
I mean, giddy up. I obviously didn't watch Friday night, but.
But I mean, if you told me you would get that kind of inning from Jimenez, he's been pretty solid too. So that was kind of like perplexing start.
See?
But in Joe Jimenez's defense, like, you don't think in that situation, you're a high leverage guy. You don't think, oh, I'm going to have to come in here and rescue this thing, right? He's not in the mental space to do that. I do want to get to this, and we'll get to Allison's word in just a second. But Brian Snicker, has the roof caved in?
Tough to swallow. It's a tough one there. That was even weird for here. Kind of felt like we were an out away in the eighth, and next thing you know, the friggin' roof caved in. I don't know. Yeah, it's a hard one to explain.
Yeah, well.
He's perplexed as well.
He is. He's a little bit.
He wouldn't say that.
He's struggling.
I'll say it for him.
I'm trying to think of a word for Allison because it's going to have something to do with not panicking because you're
me?
Just.
Yeah.
You're so even keeled right
That's
now
awesome.
About this. And I get it. I love the fact that you're even keeled. There's a big bright side to your personality, right? And we're gonna get to know you a little bit more on the other side of this next break. But there is a bright side to your personality. Where you're like, I'm not worried.
I'm not.
It's Coors Field. The Braves are fine. They're still in the wild card picture.
So
and me, I'm like, dude, I'm ready to get off this ride. Like, you know what I mean? Hit the eject button right now.
Did you pick my word?
No, you got it. The floor is yours.
You said it.
What is it?
Fine.
No.
Somebody get this girl a thesaurus.
Allison,
but I also hate that word. If you know me, I hate that word.
Like, the word fine?
Like, I hate it. Like, if you're like, I'm like, how was everything? They're like, it was fine. Oh, pet peeve. Like, just don't say it. So fine is just
so
like,
you just did what's one of your least favorite things?
Let me tell you something.
So
I was about to say that her word is unflappable.
Yeah,
because she's fearless of what she's going through this season brave with no anxiety. But then you said the word fine, and she like lost her mind, and I'm like, whoa! I've never seen that face from the South Jersey shoe queen herself.
Yeah.
Like normally she is Miss Smiles, and when you said that word fine, I think I saw. I mean, you might as well have said Dracarys.
Yeah.
Like, she was breathing fire.
Yeah, she definitely was, and we'll obviously continue to touch on the Braves. Throughout the show, and we're going to have a lot of fun up here in Flowery Branch. Let's reset for a second, though. Let's go with the Olympics. The Team USA men's basketball, fifth straight gold medal over the weekend. Steph Curry, I mean, they might as well build him a statue in Paris because he absolutely had that place rocking. Love to see that. I don't know how much of that game you guys caught, but, buddy, that last dagger, what was it, 8 3-pointers? That last dagger that he shot that looked like it was going to hit the ceiling. What a great game. What a great game for a gold medal match.
You know, I was sitting there watching the semifinal at the hotel with Arch and a few people, and the U.S. makes their comeback, right? It was a Thursday afternoon, obviously, and I know that we're talking about the gold medal game. But talk about being unflappable. You talk about, I mean they picked it up at the perfect moment. They just feel like they just – it was a calm, and then Steph Curry comes out. These guys, and Arch and I are telling me, it's like, they've been here before, right?
Yeah.
What Steph did is something he's done in NBA Finals and in NBA playoffs. Like, it's not – the moment is never too big for these guys, and that's what they showed you. So much to this case that the McDonald's in France will no longer – I think they're taking the curry sauce off the shelves.
So ridiculous.
Are they really?
Yeah. They're like, nope, can't have curry sauce.
Can't have curry sauce.
And I love it. I mean, Steph Curry, he brought freedom fries to France is what he did.
That picture of, like, he's shooting and there's, like, multiple defenders. And then that one of Wemby. Like, when he's like, oh, hit. I mean, that's
crazy.
Just iconic, right?
Allison, I do want to touch on this, too. We've got a couple of minutes here. But the Jordan Chiles saga of her reportedly getting her bronze medal taken back from her, the Team USA gymnast that came with the bronze. Explain this to me because I know kind of what's going on, but it doesn't seem like it's right. So explain this to me.
I mean, listen, I'm not a gymnast expert by any means, but from what I'm gathering, that Team USA made their like what do you call that? I don't want to say report, but like inquiry, appeal, yeah. Like 4 seconds too late. And so that is why now, and it just, it makes my skin crawl because it's like the judges made a mistake. So now you're saying that they made a mistake. 4 seconds?
Yeah.
4 minutes maybe, like 30 minutes maybe, 4 seconds too late. And now you're going to take it away from her. She has it. And now you have like mentally, physically, like everything to have to give that back. I can't even imagine. Like she's off social media now because she said she just needs to step away from it. I can't like, I think I'm not all about like tying and everything, but either like she gets to keep it and the other girl gets it like a silver medal or a bronze medal too. Like I just you can't take it away. It's too late. She has it. Like, oh,
I wouldn't give it back. I'd be like, I'm not giving back.
Go Wolf of Wall Street.
I'm not leaving.
And did, you know what I read? I read that the gold medals aren't even gold. They're like 99% silver, and they just gold plate. Like they just have spray paint with like that's some garbage. You know what?
Has it always been like that? Because France is in charge of that, right?
It's the IOC. But that organization is a crapshoot to begin with. I mean, they're barely more competent than FIFA, in the World Cup, the way they deliver the World Cups. By the way, I think it's real Dang. Quick. Look, can we just say that the obvious, we're clearly the greatest country in the world, and we showed it. 126 medals.
Wait. How many, I think I saw something, how many of the gold medals were from women?
A lot of more.
65%.
Yeah, more than any other country. Well, I mean, we had as many, 40 gold medals. Well, we tied with that other superpower in the world. I don't need to mention them. 44 silvers, 42 bronze, 126 medals. Second place had 91.
Yeah. Mallory Swanson goal leads the U.S. women's national team to gold as well to put them past Brazil. Team USA women's basketball team, to your point, Allison, they get their eighth consecutive gold medal. So closing ceremonies were last night. Did you catch any of Tom Cruise a little bit? I heard it was really cool. I didn't catch much of it. I was watching the NASCAR race, I'll be honest.
It made sense why we saw a lot of him at the Olympics, because everyone's like, why is Tom Cruise here?
What did he do?
He was there for 2 weeks. Yeah. Like, he was there from the beginning.
Like, ziplined in to the stadium, and then he like carried the Olympic flag in. They did like a whole Mission Impossible like type of theme with him. And then they tossed it to L.A. Red Hot Chili Peppers did a thing. Snoop did a like performance. It was really good.
That's cool. I was watching the race too. I was sitting at Cancun with my frozen mark.
It did leave me asking, and I know we got to head to a break, Dylan. It did leave me asking though: is Tom Cruise, was he getting paid to be there the whole time?
Like Snoop? You know what I mean? Like Snoop was.
Yeah, but
paid?
It's like the influencers and stuff you want to bring in, and like he was there for 2 weeks. It's not like he just stopped by for a weekend.
I know that he knows Paris. Him. Because they had to do that whole entire thing.
He honestly might have an apartment in Paris or something. You know what I mean? Like, he's doing things the right way.
If I'm Tom Cruise, I'd have an apartment everywhere.
All right, this hour brought to you by Morgan & Morgan Injured. Hire Morgan & Morgan, America's largest injury law firm. When we come back, we're going to hit a timeout. And it's a simple question. Allison?
Who is Allison?
What does Tiffany really think about me and Buck?
Oh, wow. That's a better question. I don't know if I want to answer that.
That's coming up on the Morning Show Sports Radio 929.
It's time for a timeout on the Morning Shift. Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Back here on the Morning Shift on Sports Radio 92.9, The Game. As you've heard three times in a row now, I'm Squid Billy. He is the All-American Mike Johnson. And the South Jersey Shoe Queen.
It's like All-American.
Allison Mastrangelo. She is joining us today from WSB. And I will remind you that this hour is brought to you by Morgan & Morgan. Injured? Our Morgan & Morgan, America's largest injury firm and the one with the best name, because it's Morgan and Morgan, and that's my name. Allison, we like to, the first time we get someone on our show, we like to kind of pop back and forth with rapid-fire questions to kind of find out who you are. But before I do that, I want you to tell our audience a quick snippet about you.
Oh gosh.
Put it on the spot.
I know. Dang.
I mean, I know. I know things
about
you.
It was coming.
I know things about you, but
Allison,
I don't want to put you out there.
Hello. I am 5'7". I have a twin brother. I'm a minute older than him. I grew up playing every sport imaginable. Played basketball. Blew my ACL playing basketball. Surf team. Was on the surf team. Then I started in Colorado Springs. First Super Bowl was Peyton Manning. That was awesome. Denver, and I've been here 5 years. And I have a dog named Rocky that I rescued. And
Rocky.
I love rescuing dogs and adopting dogs and all that good stuff. So yeah.
Dogs
you
all over
adopt.
Your socials. First of all, I noticed that you're a coffee person. I don't know.
It's not coffee. Thanks.
It's not coffee in there?
Oh, this is going to be fun.
Oh, my God.
It's Celsius.
Okay. Okay. I'm good. I thought it was going to be Mio. That's what Bo drinks. I was like, no, dude.
I saw
we
him
can't
squirt that in there.
Yeah. Thank
Two
you.
Squats.
I have to deal with that every morning. I'm like, golly, that looks disgusting. First of all, I want to talk a little bit about your trip that you had just a couple weeks ago. You went out to
Glacier National Park.
Oh, my God. The pictures you were posting looked like a screensaver.
It was unreal. That's how I felt.
Is that somewhere you've always wanted to go? Yes. Or how did that pop up?
Yes. So I have a friend that lives in Great Falls. Okay. Her husband's in the Air Force. And then a friend of hers bought a place just outside of there, which is now an Airbnb. And so we were able to go, like, test it out. And it was the most incredible trip I've ever been on. Like, I love hiking to begin with. But it was, like, the first hike I've ever been on that, like, from start to finish, there were just, like, views for days. And then we saw, I mean, every animal I wanted to see, we saw. We saw two moose. We saw two grizzly bears from afar. We saw mountain goats, mountain bighorn sheep, like everything. And it was just like, it was like still that like raw, real, like untouched nature.
I love that.
Yeah, it was just so beautiful.
It's zenful here.
That's what I needed.
This Monday morning on 92.9. Zenful.
Yes. Is that a word?
I don't know. Nah, we're making it one.
Zenful.
Yeah.
Sounds like
word.
Isn't that? I'm looking
is
it up.
Is it true that back in your early days in TV, you decided that, instead of, because you didn't have the Olympics.
Oh my gosh,
rights,
I told you this and I forgot you're going to use this against
that
me.
That you decided to reenact the Olympics with Barbies.
Yes. But that was my produce. That was like such a big Olympics because, like, you had to, you know, like.
What year was this?
15, 16? It's when you had like Phelps, Katie Ledecky, Usain Bolt, like everybody, and you couldn't show highlights. And I'm in Colorado Springs. It's like the Olympic training center is there, like everything. And my producer was like, and I just had to show like a scoreboard. And he's like, you know what you could do? I was like, what? He's like, you could use Barbies. I was like,
no, I can't. Actually, that's,
I was
not,
like,
that's not gonna
wait
roll.
Wait a second.
No.
So I was I'm gonna do that. So I like went to like some like store. We bought three Barbies, and I think my first ones were like I did gymnastics. Oh yeah, it was gymnastics I did, and I did volleyball, beach volleyball. And I didn't even tell my news director. I just did it with like two of our photographers, and I thought it was
like still motion. Like, what are we doing? Are you just
no.
using your hands?
Yeah, I mean,
oh
so
my God.
You have to see it before you judge it.
Okay, you're gonna
I got
have
nominated
to,
for an Emmy.
You're gonna have to tweet this, and it's gonna have to be reposted.
Yo, I thought I was gonna get in trouble. I'm a tomboy. I didn't even grow up playing with dolls,
right.
Like really. And so I played with the Barbies more than I. But then it became like, so I did it, and I was like, oh my God. Get in trouble. I never asked for it. The phone's like lit. People are like, I love this.
No kidding.
They're like, I called my kids in to watch this. They're like, I was like, oh my God. I even had and my agent and mine had like sent out my tape, and one guy was like, I work for an NBC, and I thought that was hilarious. Like, so I was like, okay. And so then it became a whole big thing, and it was like, so then I was like, oh my God, I have 11 days, I have to do this. So it became like, what are we gonna do? So then we did Barbies. I went to like this hotel, we did diving, they let me into like, someone thought they're like, are you doing a Barbie commercial? I'm like, no,
oh,
we're just doing the Olympics.
Gosh.
We did some stop motion. We did Legos with a drone. I went to the college at CC, and they let me use their soccer field. I mean, we went like, but it was like a team bonding thing. Every day, we're like, all right, which ones are we going to use? Like, what are we going to do?
Golly.
It was so fun. And then, like, NBC has all the rules that like, you can't, like, touch them with a 10-foot pole. So I would explain that to the audience at the end. And I have a whole stack of, like, papers. I'm like, this is why I can't show you, like, the real, or I, like, roll them. It was so. I mean, like, listen, I'm not going to do it anymore. I'm going to do it in Atlanta. But it was so, people still email me to this day, like, DM me, like, hey, are you going to do the Olympics? Like, you know, and I'm like, no, I can't.
Nah,
like,
not this
you know,
time.
Not this time. But it was so.
Well, let me piggyback on that. You always wanted to be in TV or be in sports?
Oh, my gosh. Yes.
You have, like, the hairbrush in the mirror, like, doing live reports?
Yeah, so it's close. So when I was 5 years old, my mom has a story where, like, I loved Peter Jennings. I don't even know if you guys know who that is.
Yes, I grew up watching Peter Jennings.
I loved him. Like, so I'm 5 watching the news with my mom. Like, I just love the storytelling aspect of it. And I love sports, so I played every sport imaginable. And then it's funny, I think she has a video. They're doing like the Christmas tree, and I'm doing like a live report about it. Like it's gonna have, like it's gonna come down, and it actually almost falls. You hear my guy go like timber, and I'm not hearing it because I'm doing a report, and it like almost hits me, which is awesome.
Yeah.
I was like, I was focusing on the camera that wasn't, you know, live, obviously, and then. In eighth grade, like, I was, you know, it was really cool. I had, like, the superlatives things. It was, like, you know, most likely to be a sportscaster.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was voted that. I did, hilarious. Like, you know, the school, like, high school, like, TV broadcasting class and all that good stuff. So,
I love that.
Yeah, I always wanted to do it.
I love that.
Yeah. So, that's fun about me.
What does Tiffany really think of us?
She loves you guys. What are you talking about? She loves it.
Oh,
she
man.
Says
Thank
how
you for
bright
lying on
and
air.
Cheery you guys are in the morning.
Thank you for
All right,
lying
now
on
you're
air.
Lying.
Yeah, I was going to say, you went too far with that.
You know what?
Too far
I'm
going
to rescue you so you don't have to continue to lie to the public.
You guys, what are you talking about?
Allison knows everything about shoes. She taught me how to tie my shoes properly, apparently. But if you could give one piece of advice to the entire shoe buying world, what would you give? Like, what would you tell people that need
how
to know something
shoes?
About shoes?
The Jersey Mike shoes are no arch support on Jersey Mike shoes.
Okay. My one piece of advice. Every like 6 months, man, you got to get a new pair of shoes. Like the support's gone. Like people will be like, oh, my back hurts. And it's like, well, are you wearing those shoes every day? Yeah, the support's gone after 6 months.
Yeah.
Are you running it? Or are you alternate? You know, if you're big, like alternate shoes, like you're going to wear that down. They might look brand new, but the support is shot. So that would be my advice. And then
she's an arch support connoisseur.
I love looking at it's. I don't have like a foot fetish, but I look at people's feet and how they walk. So I like gait. Like I can watch people's gait, and I'm like, yo,
love
like,
that word.
Like, they're pronating when they're walking. They're supinating. I'm like, ooh, he's wearing out his shoe bad. Like,
I'm gonna tell you something. We were standing at practice the other day, and we were talking about something, and I think injuries. And I said, yeah, since I had my ACL, blah blah. I said, I don't know if you've ever heard of it, but I pronate. Oh, you pronate? Yeah. Oh, yeah. Look at that guy right there. He does it. And the next thing I know, 40 minutes of practice goes by, and we have only talked about feet, shoes, pronating, like completely lit
up.
So a whole different side of Allison.
I know, like corns, bunions, like hammer toes.
Well, for the next 2 hours on the morning shift. For the next 2 hours.
But I was a dual major. I was health and physical education and broadcast journalism. So I took Kines. I'm like, I know stuff.
If you have a foot question, call 404.
You need orthotics? I can fit you those, too.
All right. We got to head to break here on the morning shift. Mike, Bo, and Allison hanging out. Look, we're going to talk a little bit more about the Atlanta Falcons game on Friday night. We'll give you the good, bad, and the ugly from the performance that was and Michael Penix Jr. and the rest of that squad. That's coming up on the other side of the break. Morning shift, Sports Radio, 929 The Game.
As you get older, you kind of appreciate the grind a lot more.
Back to Falcons Training Camp.
With Tiffany, Mike, and Bo.
Exclusive training camp coverage is brought to you by Miller Lite. Tastes like Miller time, Atlanta. Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9, The Game. It's hour brought to you by Zero Res Smart, Lasting Clean. Mike, Bo, and Allison from WSB. Live here in Flowery Branch. Look, man, we got to get to all this Falcon stuff going on. Allison showing the Barbie videos and the doll videos. Just electric stuff. Just absolutely electric. I watched it. It was electric.
No,
trust me.
The detail.
It was electric stuff.
I really enjoyed the beach volleyball breakdown in reenactment with the Barbies where a spike. One of the girl Barbies spiked, and then she face planted.
He watched it. What was your favorite one?
Beach volleyball.
Yeah, that's it.
It was the swimming and diving
or the track and field where they were warming up on rocks, but they found sand to do the high jump, the long jump in, I should say. So
no, man, we're gonna get to the Atlanta Falcons stuff, and here's the question I have, guys, about the Atlanta Falcons Friday night. And I got some good, bad, and the ugly that I want to run by y'all. But the Atlanta Falcons Friday night, obviously this preseason game, the final score does not matter. I mean, we saw the Falcons keep Miami out of the end zone completely last year in this exact same game. Miami goes on to be one of the most prolific offenses in the NFL. Tua leads the NFL in passing. It's not really indicative of what you're getting. But here's the question I have off the top for everybody listening. Do you feel better or worse about this season after Friday night? Do you feel anything –
about the 2024 football season based off of what you saw Friday night?
I'm a little worried to lose DeMarco Helms and Braylon Trice. I thought those guys were going to be guys that contributed. I really was excited for both of those players. So not having them, one of them for the entire year, and maybe the other we just don't know yet, that makes me feel like maybe we took a hit in depth a little bit. So that bothers me. I don't know how to say this without alarming people, because I'm not alarmed by this, but I thought we would have ran the ball better, even though it was our second and third string lines. That bothered me a little bit, but really, if I had to hammer one thing, it would be I'm worried now about depth in the secondary, and that now if Kevin King doesn't play so well and Antonio Hamilton doesn't play so well, I might feel a little bit worse about it. But two guys I expected to contribute this year are not there now.
Yeah, I agree with you on the depth. I mean, I think that's always a concern. You want that, especially you don't want to lose that at this point in the season because you're going to need it later on. To me, it just kind of confirmed, like, okay, this is why you drafted Penix. You know what I mean? Like, you saw it. I'm indifferent. Like, it wasn't like I walked away like, oh, my God. I'm just like, oh, yeah, I kind of expected that. Well, second and third string guys, like.
Yeah, and I'm glad you put it that way, because that's why I wanted to specify the 2024 season, because I think I felt a lot better about the future of the franchise after seeing Michael Penix, but I don't know that that really translates to what we'll see this year. Hopefully not, anyways.
Right, so, if you see him, then something happened.
Right, then something went wrong.
I was pleasantly surprised by a couple of guys that play defense. Now, D'Angelo Malone did not necessarily stand out as much on the defensive side, but on the special team side,
he was dominant.
We didn't know where he was playing it. We were like, we need to find out where Malone's playing, because he was so far down the field so quickly for a guy playing at the line on punts, right? And then the one time that he wasn't down there immediately, what just happened to be the one where I just watched him the entire play, because I spot, so I'm for Wes, so I'm watching the game. I somewhat follow the ball or the line of scrimmage, depending on the play. And I saw Malone get turned around and almost dragged down. He was held so bad. Of course, the referees didn't know how to throw a flag on a Friday night, apparently, but that he was very impactful in special teams. And the reason I'm bringing that up is he's just been non-existent at all the last couple of years. You just wondered what he would be. But Dane Cruikshank, as well, out of the secondary, he might be a guy with the Helms injury that might be able to step up, because I thought he played really well, and boy, he laid some licks on some people.
Yeah, he absolutely did. We mentioned Michael Penix, and look, He said after the game that it really wasn't as fast as practice was.
I always say the game's easier than practice. Game's always easier than practice. I don't know why. I think it's because our defense see our look so many times. You know, it's harder to get completions against them. But in the game, I feel like the routes be wide open, and, you know, it'd be slower. It's slower than practice. So, nah, I was good.
I got to be honest with y'all. So I said I'd give a good, bad, and the ugly. The good is obviously Michael Penix. I think everybody walked away from that going, okay, you saw him not only put the ball in precise places, but also reading the defense. It seemed like he did pretty well. The bad for me, the run game ingenuity. We didn't see much at all. Zero variety in the run game. And I don't expect there to be much variety in the first preseason game. But after watching practice for the last couple of weeks and being so excited for a new offensive coordinator not going to come in and run wide zone 30 times in a game, we got pretty much two plays. We got wide zone and we got duo.
Are you going to show all your cards in that first preseason game?
No. Here's the thing. That's what I said. I don't know if you listened. It wasn't just the first preseason game.
Hold on. First off, our guest is just –
She stepped to me, Bo. She stepped to me. Okay.
Well, was Bajon Robinson and Tyler Allgeier in that game?
I'm just saying.
Okay,
I
you know
thought,
what? Now she's on her own.
Exactly.
Now she's on her own.
Yeah. I'm on my own island. Listen, I'm from Jersey, Philly. I can hold my own.
I thought we'd see a little bit more design out of the run game, and we didn't. So I think it's interesting
that's
thing
okay.
to keep track of.
That's okay. I mean, I'm not concerned. Like, you're not going to show, like we keep saying, second, third string guys, you're not going to show everything. It's the first preseason game with all new, like, everyone's new. So, like, yeah, you're going to kind of, like, ease into everything. You're not going to show all your cards. Like, I'd be concerned if we were like, oh, my gosh, we saw, like, all these major things. Like, no, nothing. Like, I'm not concerned.
I was concerned about the fact that we had some – I thought it was a big game for Jovan Gwynn, and you know, to kind of say, hey, can you play? Can you? It felt like a moment for him Friday night where can you play, and what are you going to be? And yeah. I don't. The first one
define
was,
the role.
The first snap that was botched was, I feel like it was on him. I don't think the ball got off the ground. The second one honestly looked like it was on him. It looked like the quarterback had it right in his hands. I think it was, I can't remember if it was Heineke or Rourke at that point. But that one was right in his hands. And you got to get on that one. So there was some. I don't really, not the design of the run plays, but just to struggle to run the ball.
Right.
Was 2.7 yards a carry. That's not good for any offensive line. And look, you weren't going against Miami's first string either.
No.
Now, it was pretty much mano a mano with backup on backup.
Yeah. And unfortunately, let me get to the ugly part because it kind of coincides with this. The ugly part was third down. Third down was abysmal. Third down was as bad as I think that I've seen. And as Falcons fans, we witnessed some bad third down play last year. But when I look at the fact that Michael Penix was so good and yet on third down it was so bad, third downs to me, so many throws towards the sideline, so many throws that did not go over the middle, and just a lack of what seemed like consistency and the ability to get the ball out and the receivers actually looking at the quarterback. Third down was absolutely awful on Friday night.
Something that Arch had said, he talked about lack of reps for some of the backup quarterbacks, and obviously Penix and Cousin have taken a lot of reps this training camp so far, and I thought you saw that from Heineke, and obviously Rourke was a guy that just came in here. He is some of the transactions the team made based on what happened in that game with injuries. You got the fact that Nathan Rourke has been released. Braylon Trice and Harrison Hand were both put on the reserve injured list with knee injuries. And so John Paddock is back, and they signed wide receiver Hakeem Grant and then running back Spencer Brown. So I think they've made some moves, but I don't know what to make of the third and fourth string quarterbacks with Heineke and Rourke. I don't think you're going to – you hope to never – you don't see either one of them at all this year, no matter what. Now, Rourke's gone, but with Heineke – I'm not sure if you're going to keep him. I think you will because of the money you already have, and this is a league now. But through the new rule, though, where you can have the third guy can be on the emergency, can be on the practice squad, Allison. Now, after that, I don't know what their plan is.
I mean, I feel like you should keep Heineke because he does have that experience. I mean, heck, he was battling for the starting job just last season, which is wild when you think about it.
But three games?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
1-1, though, So I think you do keep him because of the experience that he has. He can get you in a game. He can possibly help you win a game. Obviously, the backup is Penix, so it's not even a competition. I did think Heineke was really, honest and real after that one practice at the high school. We kind of asked him about, did he think he was going to be here? And he kind of, writing. But I've been here before. I've been in this position where, I might not be here or be here. And he's like, I'm just trying to help them learn. I thought it was cool. He's like, I'm going to help them learn the playbook. I'm going to do everything I can to help them. And I like to be here, but obviously, I know. So, you got to have that mindset. But the fact that we're talking about the third and fourth string or whatever, That's great,
sure.
Right? That's great. We're not worried about who the backup is. We know who that is. We're not worried about who the starter is. I feel like we've been talking about who's going to be the starter for
Let me follow up with that. Does it concern you that starters might not play during the preseason, especially Kirk Cousins? Because that was a big topic of conversation last year with Desmond Ridder, and we kind of saw how that panned out. So does that concern you at all?
No, because Desmond Ridder didn't have 13 years of experience compared to, and he's also not coming off an Achilles. The competitor in, I'm sure Kirk and all them, they want to get out there, but we don't need to see it. I don't need to see him step on the field and do anything to that Achilles. You put him in a bubble until September, basically. The fact that he
bubble
got
boy.
Hit, yeah, but the fact that he got hit in that one practice, I was like, oh my gosh. No, I'm not concerned about it at all. If it was Michael Penix, if he was, if it's a rookie, yeah, I want to see him play. I want to see him if he's going to be the starting quarterback. But
yeah,
you got 13 years under your belt. I don't need to see him play.
Yeah, I tend to agree with you. But and obviously with all the injuries going on that you did get Friday night, scares you to think that they could play at any point. All right, we got to go to break.
We'll go in the huddle next, too.
Yeah, we're going to hit in the huddle. And one rookie quarterback had quite the debut. We'll talk about it next on the Morning Shift on Sports Radio 929 The Game and the Odyssey app.
On this level, you have to know everything. You have to learn it fast.
The Falcons are getting ready for the regular season, and we've got all the exclusive camp coverage here.
Exclusive training camp coverage is brought to you by Hooters. Ain't no party like a Hooters party. It's the Morning Shift, live at Flowery Branch on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Today, my new dad and I shot off a rocket in the park.
Today, my new son and I failed to shoot off a rocket.
He knew exactly what to do.
I had no clue what I was doing.
We set up the rocket.
Hit ignition. And then nothing.
Like it's constant sort of action.
This training camp.
92.9 The Game's live Falcons training camp coverage continues from Flowery Branch.
Exclusive training camp coverage is brought to you by Margaritaville.
It's the Morning Shift.
On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It's time to huddle up.
Bring it in close.
The latest NFL news, rumors, reports, and happenings.
Within the huddle on the Morning Shift.
Back here on the Morning Shift on Sports Radio 929 The Game. I am Bo Morgan. He is the All-American National Champion Mike Johnson, and she is WSB's Allison Mastrangelo. Also the, the South Jersey Shoe Queen. But Channel 2's Allison is with us, my favorite person over there. So, want to remind you real quick, this hour is brought to you by Zero Res Smart, lasting clean. What?
Look, I do have breaking news a little bit. Tiffany actually retweeted something we were saying on Twitter earlier, which is the first communication we've had from her in a couple weeks. She's been over in Paris. No, she's living the dream over there. Great time. Have you talked to her? Because I've checked some of her stories. She looks like she's having a great time.
Oh, my gosh,
time.
She's living the dream. Yeah. I mean, it sounds like it's just been an incredible experience. I'm surprised if she ever comes back, actually.
Yeah. She. Now, what do you think about her pastry intake?
The U.S.
What do you think about her pastry intake over there? You know, I think it's been good?
I mean, I think it's been, as you would expect,
top
anyone
notch.
Going to Paris.
Okay. I'm just making sure. Because
you better
know, she's known on this show for her pastries. And
she's normally got a cohort with her in the pastry line.
Usually got a pastry man with her.
So I'm not sure
is
how.
Is that you?
No.
Oh.
No.
It's not.
The pastry man is somebody we do not. Somebody we don't know who he is, to be honest with you. So
he's a mystery man.
I just know with all the pastries in Paris that she's probably having a good time.
I mean, you can't be like, I'm having no carbs in Paris. Like you've got to go.
Got to go down that road. So
there was a couple of good debuts this weekend for some rookie quarterbacks. We obviously Michael Penix. I thought Michael Penix looked good for the most part, but you had other guys, including former Auburn, former Oregon quarterback, and his grandmother is a friend of Tiffany's, by the way, Bo Nix. Bo Nix's grandmother is really good friends with Tiffany. They text back and forth. They've met.
Is this sarcasm?
No, it's true.
Nope,
it's true.
That's they flew next to each other on a flight and exchanged numbers, and now they hit it off.
I never sat next to anyone interesting on a flight. Yeah. Someone actually ate a raw egg. That's a story for a different day.
Yeah,
on a plane?
Yeah, next to me. Mm. Yeah.
I sat next to a guy one time that caught
and
raw
Rocky.
Meat.
Like
and
Rocky?
Raw meat, too, actually.
Were you sitting next to Rocky?
No. This is a human being.
I've told you a story before. I sat next to a guy on a flight that caught one of Nolan Ryan's no-hitters one time. Had a ring on his hand. I was like, dude. I mean, talked the whole time. That guy was probably like, please get away from me.
Were you sitting first class?
Yes.
Yeah, I knew it. See, in economy, I don't sit next to anybody.
But I'm a big dude. Come on. I'm a big dude. I got
to
have those big
seats. I flew to Vegas one time, and this girl looked like she might have taken a Percocet or something because she kept falling asleep and drooling on me.
Ooh, I got one better. Girl coming back from Vegas threw up the entire flight next to me.
God.
They had to give her a trash bag.
Okay.
A trash bag.
Yes, because she
okay.
Oh, my. Well, we've gone completely off the rails here.
Pivot. Pivot.
So, Bo Nix looked good. 15 of 21, 125 yards and a touchdown in his debut. Now, honestly, Broncos quarterbacks all in all look good because Zach Wilson was 10 of 13 himself. And then Jarrett Stidham, who started the game, was 4 of 7. Looks like Jarrett Stidham might go into the season right now as it sets as the starter. But then J.J. McCarthy, he had a good game as well. He was 11 of 17 for 188 yards and two really good touchdown throws and a pick. This rookie class of quarterback might be the one that we kind of restores some faith in rookie quarterbacks classes based on. Remember that one in 21? That 21 class, been a little bit of a debacle in the NFL.
Yeah, you just mentioned one of their names, Zach Wilson. I'll say this. I also somehow we got all the way through that without mentioning Caleb Williams. I thought he looked good. Footwork is good. Throwing balls off balance, off timing. He's kind of everything that we thought he'd be so far. If they can keep him clean, he's going to look nice as well. And you mentioned Bo Nix. Bo Nix made a throw to the flat on what I think was a hot read or just a, hey, if you get a one-on-one on the outside, make a quick throw. I thought that was, I mean, it was pinpoint to for a touchdown throw as well. So I'm with you, man. I thought a lot of these young guys, now, always bears mentioning, they are playing backups. Once they go against first-string secondaries, that will get a little bit more difficult. But I really loved what I saw in that first preseason game from a lot of those rookies for sure.
Yeah, it was really good. It's cool for me to see these guys, you know, step up and play well when there's so much scrutiny on these guys. They're so big of a, they're under the big eye here, and everyone's looking right at them. So it's good to see them.
Microscope.
No. Yeah, that's the word I want to use.
The big eye.
The big eye, like the Lord of the Rings, the big eye that just looks on everybody. Well, I was doing three things at once as well. Speaking of guys that don't speak well at times, Jerry Jones, he really stepped in it the other day when he talked about there's no urgency to sign CeeDee Lamb to this to the new contract. CeeDee Lamb literally quote retweets what he had, the quote out there and puts laugh out loud. Well, Jerry Jones has now come back and said basically that maybe he misspoke.
I think I got in trouble a little the other day when I said, look, we're not urgent about CD. Well, no one appreciates CD being on the field any more than I do. But let me say this. He wouldn't be taking a snap out here today if he'd been here for a while. You've got to use your head when you expose key players. Now, that gives the other younger players a chance to do it. We know exactly what CD can do, and he's worked out with Dak. And so we wouldn't have him out here. It has really not anything to do with his contract.
Yeah, I'll be honest. Listening to Jerry Jones, not only does he sound old, dude, some of the videos, man, I'm like, man, Jerry, I don't know that Jerry's ever looked his age quite like he does right now. You can hear it in his voice.
His players have done that to him.
Is that what it is? They're sending him
over
the
edge. As an Eagles fan, I'm okay.
Yeah. they're sending him over there. I mean, look, I think the playoffs alone is enough to make you kind of look that age. But, I mean, look, he's trying to backtrack, but in the end, he kind of hammers home his entire point from the get-go. So I don't know what really the point of this statement was. You're like, Jerry, I think you're still saying the same thing, aren't you, buddy? You're still saying that we're not really in an urgent way to get CD back.
Yeah, I don't understand why he decided that he would use that he wouldn't be playing today. And that I don't understand any of that logic of what he's trying to say. But you know what? This is a guy that thinks about things a lot in the shower, as he's told us before. So I just don't understand Jerry Jones. His thinking is off to me. Real quick, I want to mention a couple of guys that are close to home. Stetson Bennett, not a good day. 4 interceptions, but was able to – he played the entire game. He was able to pull it together at the end and hit Cartersville's own Miller Forstall for the game-winning touchdown.
Yeah, it was. It's always fun. Miller Forstall, Carter's a legend, playing up there with Trevor Lawrence as well. And said some minutes to your point, 24-38, 224, one touchdown that won the game, but the 4 interceptions, not good look. On the other side of the field, a guy that we still don't know what he is as a quarterback, Trey Lance, 25 of 41, 188. He also led the team in rushing with 6 rushes for 44 yards. So Dallas has a few options. As they start to look towards next year, maybe. But Trey Lance, I thought, kind of looked the part, man. So it was fun kind of tracking both those guys. Guys that really, really need to have good preseasons. And Stetson Bennett struggled just a little bit. I'm sure he'll get back on the horse pretty soon.
Yeah, but I'm happy to see him.
Yeah.
Like, back out there.
Yeah.
It's not how you start, it's how you finish.
I just love how bright side you are in here. Like, does anything upset you sports-wise? Like, are you just like... Because I got to be honest,
yes,
on the other side of this break, we're going to talk about the Braves, and I'm just like, you're just going to be the glasses half full, you know what I mean, when it comes to the Braves, even though it is now August 12th, and they don't seem to be playing
September
well.
12th, get back to me.
Yeah, okay. All right, I love that.
You know what? Your optimism is trying to reel me back in, because I am at the point now where the 2024 edition of the Braves might have become what Desmond Ridder was for me for last year, where I am on the bus way too long. And And I don't get off. I rarely get off trains. I'm normally just go into the flames.
Well, look, don't be a Chicken Little. You know, you don't ever want to go that route. So, Bright Side Bo will be coming up on the other side of the break. We also got a mic'd up some craziness in Richmond, Virginia last night. Boy, things went off the rails for sure. You don't want to miss that. It's coming up on the other side. It's the Morning Shift, Sports Radio, 929.
Every team, every year, in this time of the year, you know, you're very excited, you're very optimistic about the season.
Now, back live to Flowery Branch for Falcons Training Camp.
With the Morning Shift.
Exclusive training camp coverage is brought to you by Miller Lite. Tastes like Miller time, Atlanta.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
National pitcher, and here he is today in his fourth big league season. Soler crushes it. Solo. Shot. Homers in three straight games for Soler, and it's 6-2 Atlanta.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Can we just air it out right now? Can we just air it out?
This hour brought to you by Zero Res Smart Lasting Clean. Speaking of airing things out, Zero Res always airing out those carpets. What do you got, Bo?
Well, we come in this morning, and something has gone wrong in the media break room here at Flowery Branch, where the water is no longer cold. We used to have a fridge that had smart water. It's no longer cold. The coffee machine's missing.
Everything's missing.
And Mike, every break, coffee.
Well,
and
you know
over
what,
and over
man,
and over again.
When you show up somewhere and you expect to, A, number one, have a parking spot on this side of the road, and number two, have a cup of coffee when you walk in, it gets thrown off really quickly.
Well, I felt bad about the parking thing. So
did you feel bad?
No, he didn't.
I did.
No. This man's never felt bad for me in his life.
I did once.
Oh, for him. You felt bad. I did. Yeah, I thought you meant about the situation.
I did once.
I did feel bad for you, too.
So, Mike is just complaining. And Allison,
that's me. You know
Allison
me.
Gets up and goes out of the room, and then I decide to go in there where the break room normally is. And we're looking through stuff, and I don't see anything.
Foraging.
So, I peek in the door of the media room, and I look in, and I see two
Which
items.
Is where, like, Raheem does press conferences yes. and things like that.
I see two things. I see a coffee maker sitting on top of a microwave in the media room on somebody's table, which is their desk. So I go in there and grab the coffee machine, and I tell Allison, take all these cups and these cup lids, and we've grabbed a whole pouch of the Keurig
K-cups.
And now we just made Mike coffee.
Yeah,
we just made you coffee.
It smells delightful
in
here right
now. And you're welcome.
Okay. All right, that's so now I'm supposed to say thank you. All right, so we got to talk about the Atlanta Braves. Speaking about your welcome, they did not give us anything to be thankful for over the weekend other than a little more offense. And look, I want to start with this because we kind of asked this question about the Falcons from Friday night, right? The question was, do you feel any better about the Falcons after Friday? And that's going to be part of the wake-up call coming up here on the other side of the next break coming up at 8 a.m. But I'll ask you the same thing about the Braves. Allison doesn't seem to feel any better or worse about the Atlanta Braves after this weekend. Bo, do you feel worse or feel any better?
Yeah, I feel worse. I'm starting to feel like...
Which is shocking to me. I thought you were going to say the bats are alive. Or
well, hell, now you can't pitch. I mean, we can't have anything around here. We can't have any... You know this. You know what the Braves are? They're my golf game, okay? A week ago, I was hitting my irons as good as I've ever hit them. My putter was good, but I couldn't get off a tee. Played 9 holes yesterday. Driver is on fire, Mike. Now I can't hit my irons.
Yeah,
now the putter's not working.
Hitting
I'm
straight
like,
taters down the center of the fairway.
And that is literally the Braves right now. The bats start working. All of a sudden, we can't pitch. Yeah. All of a sudden, we're brutal. Max Fried's giving up 4 or 5 runs. Jimenez is getting hit. Luke Jackson over the second coming of that.
Our buddy Mark Rigby on Twitter, I think this is hilarious. He tweets at us and says, the Braves are like that scene from Friday with Smokey and Craig. He says, dang, y'all ain't never got two things that match. Kool-Aid, no sugar. Ham, no burger. That is the Atlanta Braves right now,
that's
man.
That's a great line,
It's
by
a
the
great
way.
Pull. And look, man. Brian Snicker was asked after the game, is this demoralizing?
I don't know. I hope it doesn't. You know, I don't know. I mean, you got to fight through it. I mean, it's just the hard part of this game, man. You got to turn the page, and we got to go out, and we got to come out and figure out a way to win a game tomorrow. I mean, it's no fun doing this, obviously. yeah, I don't know.
Bo, I think it's been funny, Allison's attitude towards us talking about the Braves today, because you and I got in an argument about a month ago, and you said Braves fans were a bunch of chicken littles. And I don't remember if it was after the one loss, one run loss to the White Sox, or what other demoralizing victory it was this year, but you and I kind of went back and forth, and you were like, it's not time to panic. And I was like, at what point can we panic? At what point do Braves fans go, man, this does not look good? And now I feel like we're both kind of getting that treatment from Allison this morning. She's like, let me know. Get at me in a month. Get at me September 12th. I think, I'll be honest, Allison, I think that's too late. But I think you've made me feel a little bit better about where they're at right now.
Yeah, because we've seen them, like, come in so hot that they're, like, you know, 10 games above. No one can catch them. And then they have to sit and wait to get into the playoffs. They tried doing those sim games last year. Baseball, it's all about just, like, staying in the rhythm. So, yeah, let's take that wild card and let's just run for it. Let's go.
I think you're right there. The problem is you're 3-7 in your last 10. You just lost 2 of 3 to a team that has 70-plus losses.
In Colorado.
That's fine, but you score 8 runs, you're supposed to win. That's like
in
scoring.
Colorado, it doesn't matter. You can have 16 and still lose.
I understand, but you can't keep losing these games.
I don't think you do understand.
I do.
Colorado is not a place I'm going to judge. Let's tell me about the Giants. Let's look after that. And then next week, you got the Phillies and Towns and Nash. Okay, that's huge.
Yeah, that is huge.
Allison, here's what I'll say. In Colorado, you can't judge, but also somehow they're 30 games under 500, the Rockies are. So at least they're getting judged by somebody.
You just can't blow a lead. You just can't blow an 8-2 lead in the bottom of the eighth inning to a team that's 70-plus losses.
Maybe.
Well, by the way, ding. The White Sox took 2 of 3 from us as well. Not been very good at times. It's just I'm frustrated. I mean, I don't know what to say.
Speaking of frustrated, let's hit a Mic'd Up.
It's time for Mic'd Up with Mike Johnson. Brought to you by the Lexus Golden Opportunity Sales Event.
All right, so I want to make sure I do this story some justice, and I try my best. I'm a big NASCAR fan, Allison, and I try my best not to talk too much NASCAR on this show, but this one last night has to be talked about. Austin Dillon, who drives the number 3 car, the famed Dale Earnhardt black car last night. Well, he got a little Earnhardt in him last night, and I'll be honest with you. What he did is he has been very, very, very bad this year. He's like 3rd from last in terms of season-long points. He is the White Sox of NASCAR right now. He has been awful. All right, so he got an opportunity with 2 laps to go on a restart. If you win the race, here's how it works in NASCAR. If you win the race, so even if the White Sox were to win this race, they would go to the playoffs. That's how it works in NASCAR.
Yeah.
Austin Dillon, eye of the tiger last night. All right, so he's 2 laps to go. Logano takes the lead right in front of him, and he absolutely cleans Joey Logano out. And I'm talking about does not even tap the brakes.
Well,
clips the back fender of Joey Logano, sends him spinning into the wall. At that point, Denny Hamlin attempts to pass Austin Dillon in the final turn, and he wipes him out, hits him in the back left fender, and sends Denny Hamlin spinning into the wall. He was like, you know what? I'm not apologizing. I don't have anything to apologize for. I'm going to the playoffs,
yeah,
baby.
It kind of looked like you and I racing. But the funny part was, Dillon should have won. Dillon had the race won, and then when that caution came out, he punted that 22 car.
Punted. Absolutely punted.
Yep. He took the front end of his car and matched it up with the rear end of that 22 car, because I don't like saying that guy's names. I don't like him. And, I mean, he punted him, propelled him.
If you guys have ever gone on a vacation to Destin or one of these places with go-kart tracks, this kind of thing happens what seems like all the time. Absolutely got punted. Well, the funny part is, here's what Joey Logano had to say afterwards.
It's chicken. There's no doubt about it. He's 4 car lengths back. Not even close. Then he wrecks the 11 to go along with it. And then he's going to go up there and thank God and praise everything with his baby. It's a bunch of BS. It's not even freaking close. I mean, dude, I get it, bump and run. I get it. I didn't back up the corner at all. He came in there and just drove through me. It's ridiculous that's the way we race. Unbelievable. I get bump and runs. I do that. I would expect it. But from 4 car lengths back, he was never going to make the corner. And then he wrecks the other car. He wrecks the 11 to go with it. So what a piece of crap.
He's going to grab his baby and go up there and thank God.
Well, the best part was, is they asked Austin Dillon, he's a man, I can't believe this is crazy. I'm so happy for everybody that works hard. But I want to thank God. Oh, and here's my baby. And literally his baby gets handed to me because I just want to thank God. And the 22 line there, it irritated me last night because I don't think you should ever mention anyone's kid ever. That's off limits. And that.
And then he's going to go up there and thank God and praise everything with his baby. It's a
But this was very much like a Saturday Night Live movie.
Yeah.
I mean, Mike, you said it earlier. This was Ricky Bobby.
It was Ricky Bobby.
He's like, I ain't Ricky first Bobby and last. I'll wreck you to win a race.
Ricky Bobby and Cal Naughton.
This is what we want from NASCAR.
It's exactly it what we want. So NASCAR it decided is to go 40 years in the past last night.
It did.
And I'm here for it.
Yeah.
The 22 can talk all the trash he wants, but he has and would have done the exact same thing
no doubt
in that situation. And I'll give the 11 car, who I'm not a big fan of either, but I'm starting to grow respect for him because he says, look, I don't like it, but I understand it. You've got to do what you got to do. And he knows good and well, deep down inside, in that small little heart that he might have, the Grinch heart that the 11 car Denny Hamlin has, he did the same thing.
Yeah. All right, well, we got to get a wake-up call on the other side, 404-726-0929. You can hit us up at 929 Morning Shift on the X if you want to get your thoughts. Do you feel any better or worse after Friday night's preseason game? And what is the one word you would use to describe the Atlanta Braves right now? We'll be back in just a minute. Sports Radio, 929 The Game.
Every day is a blessing. You get to be able to play in the NFL is a privilege.
Back to the Morning Shift.
Live from Flowery Branch for Falcons Training Camp. Exclusive camp coverage is brought to you by attorney Ken Nugent. Getting the settlement you deserve after an accident.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Woo! Bring them out, bring them out. Bring them out, bring them out.
Back here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. This is the Morning Shift. I am Squid Billy. He is the All-American National champion, former Atlanta Falcon Mike Johnson, and she is Channel 2's Allison Mastrangelo, also known as the South Jersey Shoe Queen.
A-Town Alley.
Or A-Town Alley.
As you've been A-Town come to know Alley. Definitely on this show, if there's ever been any time you've been known as A-Town Alley, it's on this show.
I love it.
And this hour is brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com to get a guaranteed offer on your home today and start packing. Not you, though, Allison. You get to stay for a while.
Okay.
She might head back to Jersey at some point if we keep messing with her and putting her on the spot.
Yeah.
Well, I think that probably right now she's probably not happy with you. You're being a little bit of a diva this morning.
Okay.
You've complained about coffee, so Allison and I went through a scavenger hunt here at the facility to find the coffee maker. We find it. We not only bring a whole pack of K-Cups, but a bundle of Starbucks cups with lids.
Yeah.
And
very clutch. I'm enjoying
and
this.
Your oh, gratitude
way, one of them
has
fell,
been.
So
oh, okay. All right.
It
yeah.
was on the
I'm
floor.
Sure it's the one I'm using.
I know.
Positive.
I hope it is the way you've acted. Your gratitude has been less than
stellar.
Yeah, I'm just disappointed because normally you're the one that shows gratitude and you've shown none.
Okay.
So because of that, I think we will start off the wake up call with our boy Hurricane Otis out of Gainesville. Otis, how you
morning,
doing, my
please.
Friend?
Good, good. How everybody else doing?
Can't complain.
My
buddy.
Wake up call, I got three this morning. After watching Justin Field, thank God Atlanta didn't draft him. And after one preseason game and one drive, Penix has become the number two quarterback after watching Taylor Hennessy in the first preseason game. And Squid, I'm a proud member of the nation. And last year when I joined the nation, you know, I had a hurricane named after me. This year, the first hurricane was named Burl. Squid, how many people you know named Burl? That's my wake-up call.
Appreciate you, Otis.
First of all, I thought it was Betty.
And I appreciate you being a part, being a part of the nation.
What was their name?
Nobody before I joined the nation.
I don't. You know, they have these names where they pick them out of a thing and they just wrote through them. I don't know. A hurricane names where I've never. Why has there not been a Hurricane Bo?
I'm sure there's been a Hurricane Bo. Positive.
It was Beryl. There's
Beryl?
No Betty.
Betty.
Alberto was the first one.
Oh, what are the names?
Guess what's up next, Chris.
There you go.
Chris is up next.
Hurricane
that gives
Chris.
Me that gives people like me and Mike that
Debbie,
gives us that gives us hope.
Ernesto.
Oh,
Gordon.
I'm gonna tell you something. I don't.
Kirk is on the list. Hurricane Kirk.
You know what? Hurricane Francine. That one might be bad. I don't know. That just seems like a bad hurricane.
If we get to William,
the F's are always
bad.
Bad.
Yeah.
Valerie.
All right. Let's continue the wake up call here. Remember 404-726-0929. John and LaGrange.
Flam, 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 baby. Bring it in.
Hey, good morning, guys. You know, Bo, I want to take this time to thank you. I want to thank you for doing the right thing. You know, in the early days of The Sopranos, Tony would send Chris for cannolis. That's all you did. You just went and got the cannolis this morning. But thank you for taking care of El Capitan. The mafia.
Yes, sir.
Well, John, real quick, I know you want to get the rest of your wake-up call, but some of those that do have to take care of those that can't.
Oh, is that what it is?
Yeah, and Mike is one that can't.
I've never heard that.
It's like
that's because I just made it up.
I haven't heard that one.
Go ahead,
my wake-up call is this. You know, you go to the fridge and you look at that little piece of food that you think, well, maybe it's good. It's still good. It's been in there, but maybe it's not. You eat it, and you start feeling bad, and you know, I wouldn't say that my one word for the Braves would be vomit, because you feel good after you vomit. So I'm going to go pre-vomit. You know, when your mouth starts watering, you're sticking your finger down your throat trying to get
it. It's so early for this.
That's the second time we've had to talk about vomit on the show.
John.
Oh, yeah.
Allison's flight back from Vegas.
Yeah,
Jesus.
That's my bad.
But thank you for the call, John.
Might need a trash bag.
And flam, flam, flam.
Well, that's what we expect from the mafia members. I mean, it's just rough.
Real quick, we got a couple people weighing in on Twitter. That's right. We got our buddy Douglas weighing in. He said preseason is what it is. The Falcons, more for the purpose of seeing who can compete and who can be a good number two. The Braves word he used is disjointed, which I actually completely agree with.
Yeah, that's disjointed is a good one, but it's just – We can't get on the same page. It's my golf game.
Yeah.
It's discombobulated. All right, let's go back to the phones and Drew and Marietta. What's going on, Drew?
Yo, happy Monday.
What's up, buddy?
All right, so for the Braves, my word is perplexing.
Good one.
They always make me wonder what I'm going to get, because we've had a great bullpen, and at points we've had great offense. Now, Coors Field is a hitter-friendly park, so I don't know what to take of that. But we always get one or the other, but I feel like we rarely get both at the same time. So that's how I feel about the Braves. Now, as far as the Falcons, I think it was kind of a mixed bag. Penix made some good throws. I didn't feel great about the offense, the backup OL, in terms of run blocking. We didn't get much there. But Kevin King had a great day. He had a forced fumble, he had an interception, he had a couple of pass breakups. So I'm hoping that he could really step into a bigger role, because we need another corner.
Yeah. I think also, and by the way, thanks for the call. I also think Antonio Hamilton was that guy as well. And Kevin King, obviously, good day, like you said, on the interception. You're going to read the stat sheet and see, oh, he picked one off. That's awesome. But I think just in terms of straight-up coverage and willingness to make tackles and kind of flying up the field, Antonio Hamilton really started to peek his head out as that guy as well. So
both of those guys are guys that will play they can play all over the secondary. They are really good depth pieces. They actually make me feel better about DeMarco Helms. You know what? I want to touch on something that he said there about the Braves. You know why you take it as a good sign? I'm gonna feed into the Allison take here. Is I know it's a hitter's part, but when Jorge Soler, who hasn't been hitting that power stroke since he came here, hits four home runs, what that does is it boosts you. And Matt Olson has six RBIs, seven over the last two games, starts producing, no matter what happened at the end of the game or not, that builds that confidence. To me, Mike, that's something that you build on and maybe you can right the ship.
Yeah, I agree with you, because how many times have we talked about that four-run plateau that the Braves haven't beaten teams that scored four or more runs, and it happened Saturday. The problem is the Sunday scaries started coming back around. You've been right around the 500 mark this year in terms of Sundays, which you were so bad at last year, but the Sunday scaries come back yesterday, and for whatever reason, some of the worst losses of the year seem to come on Sundays. It definitely was like that last year, and boy, yesterday was hard to stomach.
Yeah, let's go back out to the phone lines and wake up call. Chief, what's going on, Chief?
What's happening, Chief?
What's happening, Chief? Good morning, All-American and my tribal chief. And I got a wake-up call for my special guest today, the shoe lady.
A shoe lady.
Now, shoe lady, I'm gonna give you a little thing. I know you're close with Tiffany and everything, so we're gonna give you a little story right quick. I was hanging out in Drury Lane and with the Muffin Man and the Pillsbury Doughboy, and we were discussing who Tiffany was dating, and we decided she was dating the Gingerbread Man, right? And I want to know, because you're close to her, how are we supposed to believe that you don't know who she's dating? I don't believe that. I think that's cap.
Oh, me? You put me on the spot for Tiffany's dating?
How are we supposed to believe that? That's a good question.
Yo, E-Town Alley cannot break that code.
You're a vault.
I'm a vault, as Tiff says.
She's a safe of information.
Do you know the
She's got all the launch
I'll
codes.
Say she's, you know, out in the streets, but that's about
Whoa.
It. I'm not saying it.
Wow.
Dating.
Yes. She's just putting the vibes out. I feel you.
Yeah.
Okay.
She's like everyone else out there. You know? All right. I'm just trying to see what's out there.
It's always
scary out there.
Apparently. Did you meet the pastry man at one point? I mean, you can at least tell us that.
Yes.
You did meet the pastry man?
Yes, I have.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right.
That's all we needed, Allison, to know she was out in the streets. That's all we needed.
Yeah.
We won't ask.
She's going to murder me. I'll never love that.
We won't ask any more information, but I was just curious if you'd met the pastry
man. It is confirmed. She's out in the streets, and she has met the pastry man. All right, let's get one more in before we go to break. Zach, what's going on, Zach?
Morning shift. What's going on, good people?
What's up, buddy?
Hey, so I got a couple things. Number one, I think, was it Miss Allie says she's a sneakerhead. I want to know what's your go-to sneaker. Let me. I'm a sneakerhead myself, so want to know that. Falcons. Man, you know, I was impressed by Michael Penix, his quick release. I think he threw some good balls. I think some of these, you know, the newer receivers were kind of a little off a little bit as far as being in position. It makes me nervous. We couldn't really run the ball. That was kind of embarrassing to see us get pushed around. And then the only true pass rusher I think that we got out of the draft gets hurt. So that's kind of concerning. Here's a question about the Braves, though, fellas. I haven't really heard too many people talking about this, but we seem like we were very swaggy last year. We had a lot of swag. But do y'all think, like, with Ron Washington leaving, it seems like he had a lot of connection with the players and kind of he generated a lot of that swag. Do you think, like, him leaving has something to do with just the flatness and the inconsistency of the Braves?
I think, first off, good call. I think that you can – I think there's some there to that. But I think more than anything for me is that swag came from the top of that lineup.
Yeah.
And you had Ronald Acuna Jr. who just – He brings so much. I think the right word, because it's different for everyone how they consume it and how it affects them, but is energy. Just the energy. And then you had Spencer Strider starting every 5 days, who also has that. You know, it's different.
He had that dog in him.
But
Chris Sale brings it a little bit.
He does.
Great call.
He does. He does. But just think about those. The two guys you're missing, the two of the best players on the team. You know. A Cy Young candidate and the guy who won the MVP. But I do think there's some truth with Ron Washington.
And let's not forget about Ozzie Albies. Mm-hmm. I mean, that to me, he is the glue of this entire team. They seem disjointed, like we were.
Used the word. They miss Jock, too. I think Jock Peterson brought that. With the We just need, like, something.
I thought Kelnick was giving you some of that when he first went to the leadoff spot and got hot, and I think that kind of went away. But, you know, that's the thing, though, is the players feed off of others. And I think there's some truth to the one I'm watching. And I also think Eric Young at first base was a big part of that as well. But that's part of it. I mean, you lose coaches every year, and you got to figure out a way to move on and continue going forward without them.
All right, coming up in just over 20 minutes, we'll get Dave Archer live out here at Flowery Branch. But coming up next, look, the Braves, as bad as it was yesterday, got to reset a little bit. You got a lot more meaningful games right in front of you. We'll get that all broken down for you. It's the Morning Shift, Sports Radio, 910 The Game.
Back to more of our training camp coverage.
Live from Flowery Branch with the Morning Shift. Exclusive training camp coverage is brought to you by Kia. Movement that inspires. Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game.
We'll be right back. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, live from Flowery Branch, Channel 2's Allison, the shoe lady, back in the fold with me and Bo. I used to have a teammate, and I was just thinking about this. You guys, I used to have a teammate. We'd get on the team planes, and there was always one lady handing out bags of chips. And I had a teammate that would always be like, Chip lady. I'm like, dude, you can't. She has to have a name. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you can't just. It's disrespectful. I'm just trying to be. I'm trying to respectfully get a bag of chips. Chip lady.
Ma'am? Chip lady. Maybe ma'am.
Right.
Would yeah. be a good start. Just,
you know,
don't ma'am me.
But now Allison has become the shoe lady. You never did answer what your favorite kicks are.
Yeah.
I don't know that you're so much a sneakerhead as you are like a. yeah, what's
fitting.
The word?
Like, yeah, fitting. They just need to fit properly.
What's the foot doctor called?
The foot doctor?
Yeah, what's
a... Oh, a podiatrist?
Podiatrist, yeah. You're
yes.
like a podiatrist.
Maybe my next
like an amateur
life.
Podiatrist.
Podiatrist or dermatologist, I think it would be in my next life.
Yeah.
When we had our training camp conversation, I was talking about that you have squeaky shoes.
Oh, yeah.
And she goes, what kind of shoes does he wear? I said, they're New Balance. She goes, what number? Because
New
the number tells everything.
Oh, it's all about the number. The lower the number,
I don't
the
think
less...
these have a number, though.
But you told me he had orthotics, right?
Yeah, I got orthotics.
So that's half your... Did you go up a half size?
No.
Wow.
I didn't... Like, here's my thing.
Are they full orthotics or are they half?
Here, you brought this orthotic thing to me, and you kind of messed me up, I'll be honest with you. And you're like, you always got to go up a half size in orthotics.
It pushes
if
you
orthotics
forward.
Companies know that, then why don't they just make them a half size bigger? I don't understand.
No, dude. No, what?
Yeah.
Did that make any sense? No.
Yeah.
The orthotics.
Yes, it did.
No,
I can see the look in both faces. He doesn't want to give me credit, but it made sense.
No, they should make the shoes bigger, which you have to go buy.
No.
Your orthotics are the size of your foot. They push you up a little bit. They propel. They add extra cushion, which hence you need a bigger.
No. All right.
Also, do you know what's bigger? Do you know what foot is bigger on
which
you?
One of mine?
Yeah.
No, I have no idea.
Are you right or left-handed?
Right.
Yeah, so like a majority of the time, your left foot's bigger.
That's unbelievable.
Yeah.
I learned something new today. T-I-L. Hashtag T-I-L.
Oh, my favorite shoe.
Wait till she properly tells you how to tie your shoe.
Yeah. Is it going to mess me up?
Yeah.
A little bit.
It might fix your golf game.
Yeah. It helped mine slightly.
What kind of kicks you got?
I mean, so I love New Balance, but I forever wore them as a kid because my parents sold them, but I was never allowed to wear Nike, so now I'm on the Nike trend. So like, I love Jordans.
You know what's funny? I'm completely opposite of that. Like I when I was with the
you
Falcons,
need the support.
I was a Nike guy.
Yeah.
Like I wore, you know, Nike, all this. I was at Nike school at Alabama, wore a Nike team. I had the Nike contract, did the whole thing. I don't know if I've worn a pair of Nike since.
They don't have as much support.
Right. And it was just, once my shoes change because of my injuries, I have to wear those shoes for however, like once I make put a different shoe on, completely resets and it takes 3 days.
If your back's hurting, check your shoes.
Yeah. All right.
So real quick before we move on, just real quick. So if I change out the what do you call them?
Orthotics.
The orthotics in my shoe, can I still wear those shoes even if they're 6 months old?
Oh, that's a good question.
No.
No.
I'm just going to say no. Shoe people want to sell shoes, so they don't want to hear they last any longer than
shoe lady. I get it. I get it. But you know what? It's now time. The favorite part of the show for me is where I get to talk about me. Hit it, Dallon.
It's time for a look back
into the mind of Squid Billy.
Hey, he might even talk sports.
This is the Life of Squid on the Morning Shift.
Brought to you by the W Sauce and Status Truck and Trailer Repair. Driven by excellence, building successful partnerships.
That's right. A little W sauce, a little Bloody Mary mix. I needed it yesterday after the Bloody Mary mix.
We should have played it, Dylon, to where he could hear what you did. Dylon did a Life of Squid.
I heard all about it. I don't need to hear it.
I'm sure
Dylon and I will have a closed door meeting tomorrow
clutch.
When we're back in studio
it
after
was pretty
the show.
Clutch. He did your sponsors a lot of justice.
And don't forget my friends at Status Truck and Trailer Repair. My boy Anthony and I were talking the other day, and he said, look, just make sure you tell people like Mike with a medium-sized truck, or if you have a big-sized truck, or a little truck, they can come down here and see us at Status Truck and Trailer Repair. They are the official truck and trailer repair of Squid Nation.
We are the nation!
So, Zach Bryan. Are you a Zach Bryan fan, Allison?
Yes.
He was in town this weekend.
I saw.
Saturday and Sunday, and we went to the Saturday show. Decided to make a little trip out of it. We stayed at the Signia Hotel, which is right there by the Home Depot backyard. And, in fact, you can leave the hotel, walk through the Home Depot backyard, and go right to Mercedes-Benz Stadium. So it's a really cool thing. And we got a room down there we had booked out. And I tell you what, I've been to quite a few hotels traveling, and I don't know if I've ever seen a valet quite like this.
Price-wise or what?
Just in general. First off, sat on north side for 15 minutes trying to get in the driveway. It's a long driveway to the front.
Yeah, you always hate those little tiny little roundabouts in front of a hotel.
Well, the roundabout wasn't very big itself. I almost got in a fight with the guy in the back once we got to the roundabout. What?
Just picturing you getting a fight in a hotel roundabout would be just about on brand.
So we are waiting forever. We turn in, and we realize that you can only valet there,
yeah,
essentially. And
they wouldn't let you park in the orange deck?
No.
Oh.
Well,
you don't know who I am.
I wasn't going to pay for that. I'd already paid. So we get in there, and I'm pulling up. I'm going to tell they have two lanes. They have an outside and inside. Well, Mike, there's a concrete little median there that separates part of the roundabout, and I'm on top of it, basically, like where I'm turning. I'm in the inside lane. So, you know, our trucks, we got to pull up a little bit wide, and then you know that you're going to back up, right? So I'll pull pretty close up to this dude. Guy decides he's going to start looking at me and looking at my truck where it's at and then looking at me and then looking back. Like, he's basically giving me the once-over. I didn't like that.
I'm sure you didn't.
Well,
I'm
I might sure have said some words through the windows.
Is it radio-friendly?
It's not radio-friendly.
Okay.
You didn't tell me he was number one?
I basically said, yeah, man, this is the cleanup version. Yeah, man, I know where my truck's at, and I know how to drive it, so blankety blank 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 blank. I mean, I was basically as mad as a 22 car.
Okay.
Last night after he got punted by the
did
three.
Did the guy hold his baby up and thank God?
He might have thanked God. I did not see a baby.
And then you sat next to him at the concert. Just kidding.
No, yeah, probably honestly. But anyways, so when we go to leave yesterday, I did not realize we all. First off, Zach Bryan was phenomenal. MBS was great as always, but Zach Bryan was phenomenal. Really good show. Blown away how good it was. So, and I'm not the big, Amy's a huge one. I'm not a huge Zach Bryan fan. I'm less, but I do like his music.
Kind of where you're at. Like, he's not top five for me, but I like his tunes. He's got a couple good ones.
He did a really good job. So we go to leave yesterday, go to check out. Well, didn't think about the fact that we had been told when we got in. First off, we did the digital check-in and check-out, which was great. But they had 600 people check in Saturday just for that show. And then check out, guess what? Sunday morning. So go down at 10:30, and there is a line from the front door all the way to basically the Home Depot backyard.
Wow.
For valet. And walk to the back of the line, and I see this guy in the line with a clipboard, and he basically was going through getting your ticket numbers and writing them down. And so he goes, you guys don't have to wait in this line, but it'll be about 15 minutes. It was around 17 minutes for them to get my truck. But that was so much faster. I thought it was 45 minutes.
I was going to say, yeah, that's actually impressive. That's actually really impressive.
And they had about 8 people working. I'm telling you, they were phenomenal. And normally when I pay a good amount of money to park, the valet will get a good tip, but not great. I handed dude a 20. And I said, dude.
Big time Bo.
I was
big
like,
time
let me tell you
Bo.
Something.
Is that a good tip? No, I'm just kidding.
You guys are killing it. They're hustling. They were unbelievably nice at the valet. So the Signia Hotel, my favorite thing was
go Expedia on us right now. Go Expedia,
dude,
and give us a full rundown.
It was
a 4 or 5 stars.
Hotel was great.
Okay.
That bar, the Nest, was phenomenal.
Is that the view of the Benz, the Nest?
They do have a view.
Like
of
a patio?
Yeah. They do, yep, and they have, like, this Halo TV board in there, like the Benz. It was really cool to sit in there after the concert. But their valet, they have the hardest-working valet in the city of Atlanta. I would put them against any valet in the world right now because they hustled. And I met a guy from Tuscaloosa who said, that's right, more times than I did.
Roll Tide.
Yeah.
It's our buddy by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com to get a guaranteed offer on your home today and start packing. Coming up on the other side of the break, Atlanta Falcons radio analyst Dave Archer will join us to break down everything we saw on Friday. The good, the bad, and the ugly. Coming up on the other side, it's the Morning Shift Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game.
As you get older, you kind of appreciate the grind a lot more.
Back to Falcons Training Camp
with Tiffany, Mike, and Bo.
Exclusive training camp coverage is brought to you by Miller Lite. Tastes like Miller time, Atlanta. Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9, The Game, live from Flowery Branch, Atlanta Falcons training camp. And now we are joined by Atlanta Falcons radio analyst Dave Archer. And Dave, let me be the first one to apologize. You walked right through the door, and Allison gave you the very friendly version of saying, "What are those on your feet right now?" She's breaking you down, dude. I mean, like, I'm with you. I've been a little taken aback today about her passion about feet, but dude, she hit you right over the top right there on the way in.
Listen, I've been a big fan of Allison's for a long time.
Yeah.
I can't tell you how deeper in her camp I am. After she broke down the whole feet thing for me, I can't wait.
She's giving you lessons on how to tie your shoes.
I got the instructional book on order.
Yeah.
You know, she's how to put your shoes
on. Happy to help.
Learn something new every day.
I told you, the shoe queen of South Jersey. Yeah.
First of all, Arch, we got to talk about the game on Friday. I am curious, in your opinion, how much of the playbook did we see? Because it's one of the things we talked about in postgame, and I know you touched on it during the broadcast as well, but it just seemed to me like very, very vanilla run game, very, very, very vanilla on third down.
Yeah, I think all of that's accurate, Mike. I think that if you're caught up in team concept, then you're looking at the wrong things in this game. This game was about twos and threes playing, and you're looking for depth. 25 players. Wasn't that what it was, Mike? 25
yep.
players that did not play in this game. Miami, I think, had 35 players that didn't play in the game.
Wow.
Okay, so you're talking about you've got 85 guys on the roster or whatever it is. You're talking about the back half and even maybe the back third of your roster. So I'm trying to find 5 or 6 guys that can play, maybe 10 guys that can play.
Wow. Isn't that crazy to think about?
But you're thinking about it. And so offensive line play, we didn't run the ball very well at all.
No.
Okay, but Neuzel's your backup center. He didn't play. Okay, so the center position solidified. So Jovan Gwynn, who had an opportunity, I heard Bo talking about this before, and we were told this by Raheem Morris in our meeting. He said that guys are going to get some opportunities to go see if they deserve to be here or not. And there were some guys that didn't get that done. Now, we got 2 more games left to go. I'm not saying that the fate is sealed for anybody in particular. But you're looking for guys. Dane Cruikshank is a guy that stepped forward from a safety position, especially when we don't know what's going on with DeMarco Helms.
Yep.
But you talk about a guy that's played a great deal of games in the National Football League. Cruikshank's played like 54 games in the National Football League.
Isn't that crazy?
Now, he hadn't played a lot the last couple of years. He's been banged up the last couple of seasons, and his opportunities kind of dried up there a little bit, boring, but he stepped forward. This is his 5th season in the National Football League, so this is a guy that's a veteran player that could potentially step in and play. So that's what you're looking for. That's what I was looking for in this game was guys, some guys. And, yeah, you want team concept and all that kind of stuff, and you'd like to see it blend together, but that's what I was looking for.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of things that you saw, like, and we'll go to a young player, Michael Penix, is his debut. He was the bright spot, honestly, offensively for the Falcons all night. But what did you see in a guy that's making his first start? And, look, we don't need a lot out of him this year, hopefully. But what did you see out of Penix in his first career start?
Well, he's got I think I tweeted it out over the weekend after I kind of digested the game a little bit. He's got the goods. He's got exactly what when they saw when they went up and evaluated him 2 times when they went to Washington and they took all the guys up there to look at him throw. And then when you put the tape on, did that come to life during training camp, during OTAs it did, during practice it did, and in the game you want it to translate to game speed. And Michael was completely comfortable in the game. Ball came out on time. He had a good idea what was going on. Give Zach Robinson a ton of credit. They didn't do a lot of different things. It was personnel groups. There wasn't a lot of diversity to the personnel groups. He had an idea where guys were going to get lined up. Miami paid him a little bit of a solid because they were pretty vanilla defensively.
Right. Yeah.
So when he got press coverage and single high safety, he knew he could take a shot on a fade route. Now he could take. I'm sure that there were a couple of throws, like he threw one in the left corner of the end zone that he put more air on it than a touchdown. So those are kind of some of the nuances in adjusting. But as far as his ability to process, and nothing says it more than the play where he dropped in the pocket. he was reading it out. The coverage took him to the right side. They had a combination on the right side where they had the slot was running like a short corner, and the outside receiver was running a slam route. He was coming back to the inside, and the linebacker who was playing inside passed off the outside breaking route that was coming from the slot and jumped the outside route coming inside, took that away. He immediately rotated his head back around. He found Casey Washington over the middle on that deep end cut. And it was just boom, boom, boom. And he a little slide in the pocket. He was comfortable. He was poised. He was confident. He had an idea what they were doing. And so I think that Zach did a good job, too, of really giving him stuff he knew what to process through.
And that's what I want to hit on here next, too, because it seemed to me like, and we've talked a bunch about the third down numbers and how bad it was, but it almost was like they were designed that way, to your point, to give guys an opportunity. There were some opportunities for back shoulder throws on some of the third downs. A lot of stuff really kind of going towards the sideline and even goes empty on a third down, right, where you get a blitz off the left edge and Michael Penix is kind of forced to make a quick decision. I don't think it ended in a completion, but I think he made the right decision on where to go. How much of that do you think is Zach Robinson designing these plays and saying, look, let's put these guys up to bat and see what they've got?
Yeah, I think a lot of it is that. Excuse me. I think a lot of it's that, Mike. I think that you want to – let's not overload them with all these different things that we're ultimately going to get to when we play Pittsburgh. Let's just let them settle in and play, and let's find those guys, like you and I talked about in that first question, as to, okay, who are some of those guys that are going to surface that, okay, we need to take this group now. It's a vetting process. You're essentially auditioning for a job. So the vetting process is, okay, here you go. This is the workload. Can you handle it? And some guys stepped up and some guys didn't. Now they're going to get another opportunity next week, but then that's going to get kind of thin, because now all of a sudden your veteran players are going to start getting more reps, and now some of those things are going to go away. But I think Michael Penix's ability to understand concepts of what they're trying to do, but also understand down and distance situations.
Yep.
I thought that we didn't see that from Taylor Heinicke later, and I think Heinicke's lack of reps, and I know Bo touched on this, I talked about it a great deal in the game, but I think his lack of reps during practice really showed up in the game. He looked really uncomfortable. He literally looked unsure about what he was doing. But decision-making in-game, if I've got third and five, unless I got a guy wins clean on a fade route, that's a low percentage throw.
Yep.
I want to move the chains. Penix did that.
Yeah.
If you watch Penix, boom, Fitzpatrick in the flat, bang, he hits him with the ball in the flat, first down. Okay, I moved the chains, now I got three more downs. That's understanding the game and down and distance situations, and I thought Michael really negotiated that stuff well.
And it's interesting, too, you bring up kind of Taylor Heinicke, because we talked about it in the postgame. When we were out of second-year high school, I mean, this guy doesn't get any snaps, right? I mean, he's trying to keep his arm loose, 90% of the time, Bo, and, kind of seeing him not get those snaps that night, but obviously get thrown into the fire this weekend.
Yeah, look, Arch, it was somewhat costly. We lose Braylon Trice for the season. We don't know what DeMarco Helms is going to do with him. But what did you see from a couple of guys in that secondary that we might have more depth in the secondary than we actually believed?
Well, it's a good point, Bo, and I think that give Terry Fontenot and Raheem Morris and the people that went out and scouted and say, okay, let's find a couple of veteran guys that maybe some teams have given up on a little bit or whatever. Kevin King falls right into the category that maybe some teams gave up on him. He had a pretty good couple of years in Green Bay. In fact, in 2019, the guy had over 60 tackles and 5 interceptions in 2019 as a starter in the Green Bay secondary. So he comes here after 2 years. He stepped away from the game in 22 for some personal reasons. Last year he tore his Achilles tendon and didn't play. So he's been out of the game for 2 years. The dude looked like he was reborn Friday night.
Yeah,
I mean, the guy's the interception. He probably could have had another interception. He jarred a ball out. He got the ball out. So I thought Kevin King stepped forward, much like maybe Terry Fontenot envisioned when he went and got him. Antonio Hamilton, same thing. I thought Antonio Hamilton had some moments where he was on coverage. He was right there. And so now all of a sudden you look and say, wait a minute, maybe it's not just Hughes and Alford and Clark battling for that corner spot. Let's throw a couple of veteran players' hats in the ring. And not to mention now, you talked about Helms. Cruikshank stepped up in the secondary. I think he's another veteran player. But both Hamilton and King can play safety, too.
Yeah.
So now all of a sudden you think, wait, we're a little bit deeper than, like you said, Bo, a little bit deeper in the secondary than we thought.
Well, look, man, unfortunately, we got to head to break. But, I could talk football with Arch all day.
Well, as it turns out, he's going to be at practice, so I'm just going to stand beside him and pick his brain more. Because, privileged as I am that I get to work these broadcasts, that these preseason games, is he might come in handy more than ever, because I'm hearing him say things and I'm like, oh, that's a good number.
We always get into these Arch conversations. I always try to give him quarterback. I'm like, God, I gotta ask about this quarterback.
I feel bad. I always try to say, well, Arch said this in the broadcast, so I'm really just repeating what Arch said. But if it's the truth, I mean, it's better than I could give.
Yeah, information
still. It's amazing, Allie, that we've got to teach Bo about quarterback play and got to teach them both about feet. And
yeah,
stuff like that. What's the deal?
I don't know.
I've learned a lot today.
Once he gets coffee, then he's.
By the way, saying all that nice stuff about me will not get you dinner on Friday night in Baltimore, by the way.
No, it won't.
Well, Allison, I don't know what I got to do then.
Allison will be back with us tomorrow. We'll actually be in studio. The Falcons, no practice tomorrow, so we'll be back in studio with her. Looking forward to that. And Arch, thanks for hanging out with us. For just
good to be with you guys.
Yeah, awesome. Coming up next, on the other side of the break, we'll find out what's going on in the Steakhouse. This is The Morning Shift, Sports Radio 910.